Looking at our world from a theological perspective. This is the Theology Central podcast, making theology central.
I need everyone to take a deep breath. I need everyone to calm down. I need everyone to step away from their keyboard, to put their phone down, and at least try to hear me out, because there's some very upset and frustrated people with me. I don't know why they're necessarily upset or frustrated with me, but this whole situation, we need to try to calm down and we need to try to think about this. We need to try to get some additional information. We need to do some additional research. We have a lot to try to figure out. So welcome, everyone. It is Monday, April the 15th, 2024. It is currently 12:37 p.m. Central Time, and I am coming to you live from the Theology Central studio, located right here in Abilene, Texas. Well, it has been an absolutely crazy, 13, 14 hours? I don't remember when the last live broadcast occurred. I would have to look at the exact time. I think it's been about 14, 15 hours, and it has been crazy. When I did the broadcast, I thought, okay, you know, if this really happened recently, and I'm, and I've done some searching, there's not a lot of people talking about it yet. If I get this broadcast out there, well, we'll be a little bit ahead of the story. That gives people who listen an opportunity to participate in the research and try to gather information with me and for me. All right. So that this will be kind of interesting. If it turns out that it's not a recent thing, this is something older that people are pulling up, okay, then I may have just wasted all of my broadcast time. I didn't really know exactly how it was going to play out. So I did the broadcast, and then I wake up today and it's like, what in the world is going on? So are you ready? Are you ready to we're going to go back to the live broadcast? I'm going to try to walk you through everything that happened. And well, we're going to put this together, and I'm going to try to give you some additional information. There's a lot here that I still don't know, and I know that's going to irritate some of you, but all I can do, turn on the microphone and do the best I can, and I'm going to try to do this. All right, so here's what happened yesterday evening. I don't remember exactly the time right now. I don't have the chronological order all mapped out, but somewhere last evening, I saw a video that was taken on someone's cell phone at a men's Christian conference. In this video, we see Mark Driscoll, the former pastor of Mars Hill, the famous Mark Driscoll, some would refer to as the disgraced former pastor of Mars Hill, the one that has been talked about, it seems like, endlessly. Everyone has strong opinions about Mark Driscoll. They either like him, dislike him. Did I say Mark Hill? Mark Driscoll. They either, Mars Hill. Yeah, I think I said it correctly. All right. They have strong feelings about him one way or the other. They either love him or they despise him. They say he shouldn't be a pastor. Whatever the case be, everyone has strong opinions about Mark Driscoll. And to be fair, they have strong opinions about everything that happened in Mars Hill. You had the famous podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Everyone has strong opinions. So it's a men's Christian conference. There's Mark Driscoll on the stage. All right. Okay. Well, then some would say, well, he shouldn't even be speaking at a conference. He should never preach again. Others will say, well, he should have done this. And the focus will become on Mark Driscoll. But as you watch the video, and as I watched the video, I was like, wait, what is going on? So Mark Driscoll is there. He's getting some applause. And then he begins, he doesn't call it a rebuke, but he kind of begins to rebuke. I know he doesn't call it that, but to me, I don't know how else you can define it. He begins to make, as he says, observations about something that had happened at that men's conference before he spoke. It appears that the performance may have been the night before. This is the next night, possibly. I think that's more the correct chronological order, but there was a performance. A man came, they had this kind of platform, this kind of you know, elevated area that had a pole in the middle of it that went up to, you know, went up high into the air. Okay. So it's this large pole just standing there. This man comes up on this platform. He stands there. Clearly he's there to perform. And then he takes off his short shirt. Some will say he removed it. Some will say he ripped it off. However you want to describe it. But here is this man at a Christian conference standing there to perform for all of these men at a Christian conference without a shirt. And he does some kind of acrobatic routine on the pole. And then he swallows a sword. All right. Now, you see that. And then Mark Driscoll, well, he begins to, in a sense, rebuke the conference for that performance. Again, he says he's just making observations. And then Mark Driscoll is called out, told to stop. The other pastor comes on stage. Mark Driscoll is basically kicked off stage. He's booted. And, well, chaos ensues. And then everyone has an opinion. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the original video that I had, right? It's about 2 minutes. So you kind of get a reminder of what's going on. You've probably, there are videos now everywhere. As soon as I got done live broadcasting last night, my daughter was sending me TikTok video after TikTok video after TikTok video. She's like, did you see what happened? And I'm like, oh boy, this situation. So then I kind of realize, oh, this is going to become, this could possibly become something big. So what I'm going to do is play what we aired last night, and then I'm going to try to add some additional context to this. And I'll break it down in the ways in which we broke it down. So I apologize if I was saying Mark Hill instead of Mark Driscoll. If I said anything incorrect, I apologize. But this whole situation is crazy. I'm trying to process it in real time. And I don't think at least some of the people weren't so appreciative of that fact. Some people felt that I shouldn't have said anything until I gathered more information. But let me make it very clear. The church that hosted this conference, if you go to their website and try to access the whole video, you have to have some password. You have to have some login. Well, now, if there's additional context, if there's additional information, instead of people getting mad at me, contact the church and say, hey, guys, the whole world's talking about this. Release the full video. Go live. Record a podcast episode. Address it. So it's so weird that something happens at a conference. You try to address what's happening at the conference in the most fair, balanced way as you can. And people are like, well, you don't know this and you don't know that and you don't know this and you don't know that. Well, guess what? The people who do know is the church. They can release the full video. And at this point, again, the last time I looked, and which was this morning, it was still behind. I mean, I'm trying. It's like, there's the session. Oh, Mark Driscoll, click on it. Boom. I need some kind of password. Where do I get the password? How do I log in? Do I have to be a member of the church? No, release the full video. If there's additional information, release it. Let everyone know. This is not just me. Everyone's talking about it. It's on Facebook. It's on TikTok. It's everywhere. So I some of the people, like, talk to the people who were involved in the controversy. It's upon them. It's the responsibilities on them to try to release the additional information. For those of us witnessing it, seeing it, it's already being talked about. What I tried to do was take it and try to say, okay, here are three specific things we need to consider. And I said countless times, I don't want to be too judgmental. We do need to be careful. We do need to get additional facts. Help me research this. But for some reason, a lot of things I said was somehow missed. So here, let's go back and listen to the original thing, and then we'll put this all together, and hopefully it'll be beneficial. All right, I do apologize for the, the whole thing's just crazy. Like it just seemed like all of our focus should be on the same thing. That church who held that conference, they need to speak up. This should not turn into, now I've got to go back and try to go through everything I said and parse everything I said and try to answer all of the emails and the comments that I'm getting. That's a little irritating. And there's a lot about this that I still don't understand. So we're going to work through it. So here is what we played last night. Again, this was recorded on a cell phone, so the audio is not great.
But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Absolutely crazy and bizarre. I did not step in at any point. Now, I mistakenly said it was recorded last night. It was posted last night. Well, some of those were posted maybe 20 hours before I discovered them. So yesterday, right? Somewhere during the day yesterday, maybe even late Saturday night, these things were being posted. And then I think they finally caught on, and then they began to go, I think it's fair to say it went viral. It went viral. All right. So I took that and I aired that last night, and we talked about it. And let me make it very clear how I broke it down. I said there were three very distinct things we needed to consider. I think I said two and ended up giving three, right? Three distinct things. And when you're reacting to it in real time, and so I know I was apologetic for maybe the intro and messing up a little bit, but everyone, with all due respect, everyone cut me a little slack, right? Because when you're trying to react to this stuff in real time, right? Real time, you're gathering information. Like, you're sitting here talking and you're like, you're looking at this and then you're checking this and you're looking at this and looking at this. It's not always going to flow perfectly. It's not going to be this perfectly edited and, you know, like I'm doing a performance. This is, I'm trying to process in real time this controversial situation dealing with someone who's very well known in the Christian world. You say Mark Driscoll, everyone's going to have a strong opinion. So I was trying to react to it in real time and trying to get everyone to go, whoa, 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 let's consider this carefully. So here was the three parts I broke down. Number one, the performance. What do we think about the performance? It does seem, from what I am hearing, I think it seems somewhat proven that the performer that was hired is a male stripper in Vegas. That seems to be somewhat verified. We may have to do additional work to it. We'll be 100% certain, but it appears that this conference, this church, hired a male stripper from Vegas to come do this acrobatic routine on a pole without a shirt in front of all of these men at a Christian conference. So you've got the whole question of the performance, which is that even acceptable? Should that even happen? Now, I try to make a distinction. Well, this wasn't inside a church. This was in an arena. So do I make some kind of an exception for that? Many people commented, how dare you? There is no difference. This is just wrong. And then I tried to bring up how do we judge the performance? Regulative or normative principle? Does the regulative and normative principle apply to what's going on in an arena at a Christian conference, or does that only apply to what happens inside a church? And what is acceptable? What type of performances are allowed? Because if you watch the promotional video for the conference, it's this like hype video. You got music and it's got, you know, men hitting a punching bag, lifting weights. And then you've got like, I don't know, monster trucks, wrestling. I don't know all the stuff they did at this conference, but it was just like over the top, like, you know, an extravaganza. It's like a three ring circus. Well, is that acceptable? Is that okay? So they already allowed a lot of stuff in there. Does it become unacceptable because the man ripped off his shirt? If he wouldn't have ripped off his shirt? Like, so we have the whole performance thing, and everyone's going to have different opinions about that. And I tried to say, hey, here's all the different ways you could look at it. I tried to be very fair. So there's the performance aspect of what happened at the conference. Then we have Mark Driscoll's. Again, he doesn't call it a rebuke. I don't know what we call it. I don't know what he makes observations, but he makes observations very much condemning what occurred. The Jezebel spirit is here. It opened the conference. Okay, well, clearly that's a rebuke. Clearly that's a rebuke, right? So you can argue what Mark Driscoll did. Was it right or was it wrong? And I gave you all the different options. Well, wait a minute. It seems that Mark Driscoll, that the performance happened one day. Mark Driscoll is speaking. So he had plenty of opportunities to go to the people who put on the conference to talk to them in private. He could have done that. I don't think going to the performer would have done anything, because if the performer is not even claiming to be a believer, and I don't know if he is or isn't, well, that doesn't seem, you know, to work. And then Mark Driscoll may have been thinking, if I go to these men in private, if this just stays a private conversation, all of those men who watched that performance, they're not going to be challenged to think differently about that performance. Maybe he felt it was a public display, so it deserves a public correction. You can have all kinds of opinions on there. And then once Mark Driscoll is cut off in the middle, told you're done, you're finished. And then Lindell, I don't know how to say his last name perfectly. I'd have to go listen to hear how it's pronounced. But then he comes up on stage, and then, you know, he's being yelled at, and you're not in charge. You're not in charge. Bring Mark back. Everybody's getting angry. And then he cites Matthew 18 that Mark Driscoll did not do this appropriately, because Mark Driscoll should have followed Matthew 18, gone to them in private, and then dealt with it that way. Well, you could argue, again, is that the right? Should he have cut Mark off? Should he have allowed Mark to finish and then come up on stage and say, we need to talk about what just happened? Like, there, you could look at it so many different ways. And so I tried to say that I don't have definitive answers. I tried to say, hey guys, we need to just consider this. I tried my best to do that. And I think if anyone listened to my entire program, I think that it's fair to say. So here's some of the additional information that we have, all right? The conference is called, in fact, I have it right here, the Stronger Men's Conference. The Stronger Men's Conference. It's put on by James River Church. The Stronger Men's Conference, James River Church. The conference, they're going to have another one in 2025. I'm looking at jamesriver.church. I'm looking at their website. It has Mark Driscoll Stronger Men's Conference Session 1, Mark Driscoll Stronger Men's Conference Session 2. If I click on the link to watch it, guess what I get? This request item cannot be found. Email, password, or sign in. You don't have a Wista account. I guess I can sign up for a Wista account. I don't know exactly what I have to do, but the whole thing is behind some kind of password. If they have the full video, release the full thing. Make it easy for me to find. I'm at your website. Now, other people say, well, you can track it down if you spend, you know, I don't know, 40 minutes on Facebook or look here. The church should be providing it. The church should be providing it. So that's the name of the conference. You can find the promotional video. I was going to grab the audio for the promotional video, but it's just music and all of this, like, ooh, here's a man hitting a punching bag, and here's a man lifting weights, and ooh, monster trucks and wrestling, and oh, wow. And it's like, oh, and then there's a man who preaches a little bit. Okay, great, great. And you're kind of like, all right, whatever. The conference wasn't free. To get into the conference, according to, I think someone contacted me, I think it was on YouTube. I'm going to be hard to keep track of who contacted me which way. It appears that it cost over $100 to get into the conference. Over $100 to get into the conference. Now, once again, that is placing the preaching and teaching of God's word behind a paywall. I reject that completely. You know my view on Christian conferences. I think it's ridiculous that Christians pay money to get into a building to hear someone open up the word of God. When you do that, then you're elevating the men preaching as some kind of celebrity that they can preach better than the people who just allow you to walk into their church for free. It's ridiculous. The preaching of God's word should not be put behind a paywall. Now, you could say, well, you're paying for the preaching, but you're paying for the spectacle and for the entertainment. Well, does Christian men's conferences need to offer up monster trucks and men ascending and descending a pole without a shirt and swallowing a sword in order to disciple and make men of God? I don't think as a man, I need more entertainment. I probably need something different. So I'm already bothered by that it's over $100. I'll try to go through all my YouTube comments here in a minute and see if I can find it on there. All right. So that's another issue. Now, what I am hearing is that at some point, Pastor John Lindell, however you say his name, and Mark Driscoll came back out on stage and I guess sat down and had a conversation about it all. And supposedly, from what I'm hearing, this is what I'm hearing. I don't have any proof of this, that I guess Mark Driscoll admitted that he was wrong. I have a comment. This is a comment. This comes to me from YouTube. Here's what I was told. My husband and 21-year-old son was there. The performance, along with other action-based performances, were on Friday night. The teaching sessions were mostly on Saturday morning, and that's when Mark Driscoll spoke out. Now, I stated I stated frequently last night that I didn't have the chronological order down. I didn't have how exactly it went. And I tried to ensure that I did not make any dogmatic assertions about that, nor did I claim to know that. I'm like, I don't know if Mark Driscoll had time to talk. So clearly Mark Driscoll had plenty of time to talk to people about what happened. Clearly he did. Now, you may say it doesn't matter. They did it publicly, so he could rebuke it publicly. Others will make some kind of argument, and people will quote Matthew 18. Other people will quote other scriptures, and then it will be just a battle of cross references, and you'll never get anywhere. So, but it seems to be the chronological order, and other things that I have read seems to be in agreement with this comment. Now, remember, I don't know who this person is, so I can't verify that her husband or her son was there. I can't verify it, but I'm going to go. What I'm doing is taking what they're saying, and it seems to fit everything else that I'm reading. That all the performances and the entertainment and the spectacle was Friday night, and then most of the teaching was Saturday morning. I don't know what was planned for Saturday night or how it was going to go the rest of the day. That seems to be the proper chronological order, meaning Driscoll had plenty of time to talk to someone about what happened. He had plenty of time to do so. Now, you can make whatever judgment you want about that. It says here, that's when Mark Driscoll spoke out. It was this weekend in an arena. So it was this weekend because I thought possibly it was something that happened. I saw something on the internet trying to connect it to something in 2023. So that's why I was concerned. All right. I didn't know if it was in a church, an arena. It was an arena, and other people have confirmed the same thing. It was not in a church, which, okay. Some people don't think it makes a difference. I think it makes some difference. What you don't know is that Mark and Pastor John came back out with a table and chairs and sat down on stage in front of all the conference attendees and followed biblical principle and how to address a grievance with a Christian brother. Well, if they did that, that's amazing. That's awesome. Could someone post the video somewhere? Now, I'm assuming someone's going to be able to find it. I'm assuming it's got to be on Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account. It may be somewhere on Twitter/X. It may be somewhere there. If you can find it, great. Again, I've gone to the church website. It should just be. Now, let me go back to the church website. Let me do something. Because some of that is behind a paywall. So hang on. Let's see. Well, see, I can't even get there. No, that's giving me to sign up for that Wista account. All right, here's James River Church. Now, I'm going to the homepage. Now, when you've got something going viral and the whole world's talking about it, it should just be right there on the homepage. I'm assuming they have people who work with their website. Hey, we need an update quickly. Let's put this video here. I'm looking at it. Guess what? Nothing there. Nothing on the homepage. Nothing on the homepage. Nothing. Stronger Man's Conference for 2020. They're advertising. They have a promotion for 2025, and they're offering 40% off. So guess what? They could post it right here. So this is the thing that drives me. What you don't know? Well, guess what? Everyone could know. The church could have it on their church website. I mean, they're already promoting 2025. Hey, how about you hit the brakes, pump the brakes on promoting 2025, and you address everything that went down in 2024. And don't give me, look, if you're holding a conference where you're in an arena, you have monster trucks and you hire a stripper from Vegas, you've got money. I have no money. I'm a little podcaster in the middle of nowhere. And guess what? I'm live on the air addressing the situation. I'm sure that they could be live somewhere on the air talking about the situation. Now, maybe they are live somewhere. Now, there's nothing on their page telling me that, but maybe they are. Maybe they have already uploaded this to countless platforms. Maybe I missed it. So I'm definitely going to look for it. But if they did come out and sit down at a table and talk about it, that is amazing. That is awesome. And I agree with you. It could be a great teaching. Well, you didn't say it this way, but it would serve as a great valuable teaching moment for all of us to learn maybe how to deal with a grievance with a fellow believer. And then we could find out, does Mark 18 apply to this? And we could get into a whole discussion. So yes, I just know that who put on the conference? James River Church. So where should I go to get the latest information about what went down? James River Church. Now, I guess I could look up Mark Driscoll's church and see if he's posted the video. Or do I have to start looking through social media accounts to find it? That just seems like, yeah, don't put the responsibility on me. I didn't host the conference. Okay. Don't, I'm simply going, this situation's going crazy. Someone needs to step up and talk about it. All right. So let me go read through all of this again. All right. So what I don't know is that they came down, sat down on a stage in front of all the conference attendees and followed biblical principles on how to address a grievance with a Christian brother. You need to speak only of what you actually know. Well, that's exactly what I did. I addressed exactly what I did know. I said, I can't judge this. I can't judge that. And I simply asked questions. So what should we think about the performance? And I saw the part of the video of the performance. So I did know about the performance. So what should I do with what Mark Driscoll did? Well, guess what? Everything Mark Driscoll did, I played the entire rebuke. I played the entire thing and spoke of it. I did know that. I do know Mark Driscoll was kicked off the stage. I played that. I do know what John Lindell said when he came up on stage because I listened to that. So I addressed exactly what I knew. I broke it down into three specific areas, performance, Driscoll, Lindell. And then I said, okay, how should we think about this? How should we think about this? We could think of it this way. We could think of it that way. I was not dogmatic. I told everyone we needed to do additional research and we needed to be careful. I don't know where I spoke of what I did and everything I didn't know. I very much acknowledge what I didn't know. I didn't know the chronological order. I didn't know that. I admitted that. There was plenty there that I admitted. So I don't know what you say. You should only speak of what you know. That's what I did. I didn't say anything else. So that's a little frustrating. All right. And I am grateful that they're now giving me the rest of the information. It says, you need to speak only of what you actually know. If you would like a video of the performance that was called into question, I can send it to you. Well, I've seen at least a good portion of the performance, but yeah, I can. I mean, if you want to send the whole performance, what I want is the video of them sitting down at the table in front of all the attendees is what I want. If you would like a video of the performance that was called into question, I can send it to you. It is unfortunate that you yourself were not in attendance to see fully what transpired. Well, no, it's not unfortunate because I would never go to a Christian conference where someone has to pay over $100 to get into because I'm opposed to the entire Christian conference industrial complex. So it's not unfortunate. Okay? No, I wouldn't go to one. I have an issue with the entire conference concept to start with. All right? Now, I agree. I do agree that if I was there, I could have offered a better perspective. I do agree with that. Your podcast is full of supposition that leads people to draw conclusions that may be incorrect. Well, I think I tried to very much say, this is what we know. I know about the performance because I saw the video of the performance. I know what we can think about Mark Driscoll because we heard what he said. I know what we can do with what John Lindell did because we heard what he did. So where's the supposition? And so what I said is three parts. What do we do? But it appears that not that somehow I did something wrong. It's like, no. The issue is what happened at the conference, not what I'm saying about it, because I didn't make any suppositions. I said, well, it could be this, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. And you know what? It's perfectly okay to ask questions about what is going viral all across the internet. It's okay to say, hey guys, this is happening. Here's how we should think about it. I didn't turn on the microphone and go, Mark Driscoll was completely wrong for what he did. I didn't say, well, John Lindell was completely wrong for what he did. Now, I will say, I think the whole conference is wrong. So I got no problem about that. But that is, I'll say that about almost every conference that occurs. I tried to be very careful. I even tried to be very careful not to judge the spiritual, the salvation or spirituality of the man performing. I was even trying to be very careful going, well, I don't know, should we call that stripping? Should we call him a stripper? I don't know. Well, then come to find out, it appears they actually hired a male stripper. So so then I tried to even be very careful with that. So I just don't feel that it was full of supposition. Mark Driscoll actually later admitted that he was wrong and that he had not planned on saying any of those things to begin with, but said them when it popped into his head. Now, Pastor John raised his voice once on stage because he was being shouted down by attendees. Now, I felt that Pastor John was very upset and very frustrated. Only because as someone who has spoken and preached for 23 years, you can sometimes kind of sense it. Now, maybe I was wrong to insinuate that. Maybe he wasn't. But yeah, he did raise his voice and I can understand he was being shouted down. Yeah, people were yelling and screaming. I agree. There is an authority or an accountability chain in these things, and Pastor John has a responsibility to God for what happened in these conferences, and the speakers he invites understands that. Only a handful of people walked out. The performer is supposedly a Vegas show performer. The performer did nothing in the form of stripping. Now, okay. Now, I do agree. I did go back to listen. I think at first I made it sound like a lot of people walked out. And then I tried to correct myself, but I think my correction wasn't great. So I will accept correction there. So, you know, maybe it was a small number. I think I corrected myself. I think I did. But and for all of it, look, if anyone thinks I wasn't fair, I apologize. But I thought I was trying to bend over backwards to be fair. I thought that I didn't turn it into like, oh, yeah, let's go after Mark. Oh, yeah, let's go after John. Now, I will go after all of it. Because I think the entire conference is ridiculous. It's this big spectacle nonsense for $100-something for people to get in to supposedly learn how to become a man of God. Like the whole thing. No. I disagree with it all. And I've been consistent on that for 30 years, 40 years. I've been consistent on that. I don't like this concept of where, you know, so-and-so is preaching. Oh, okay, great. I can't wait to go hear him preach. Well, it's going to be $40, $50, $60, $70, $80, because, you know, you got to pay money to get in to hear people preach. Now, I know what they're going to say. Well, with all of these other big entertainment things, they have to charge something, or you don't provide all of the nonsensical entertainment and just preach the Word of God. And as someone who volunteered and helped Carmen, the contemporary Christian music artist, I helped set up his stage. I helped set up the sound equipment. I saw the big spectacle he put on. And it was free to get in. And he took a love offering during the concert. And he performed that way years. And he played in Texas Stadium in Arlington. That place was almost, I mean, I don't know if it was packed. That place was a lot of people for this huge Christian conference. And it was a huge setup. Big stage, dancers, lights, lasers, everything. It was free to get in. So come on now. Come on. So you have to decide how you want to do that. Now, obviously, people wouldn't have been giving, he couldn't have done that. So I do understand money is required. But yeah, so I have been consistent in my complaint against the whole Christian industrial complex, the Christian conference industrial complex. And I will stand there. So, and I even agreed that I don't know if we call that stripping. I even said that. And then I even raised the question, well, if he would have kept the shirt on, would that have been right then? Or would that have been wrong? Well, I think the whole thing is crazy to have at a Christian conference, whether he kept his shirt on or off. And I said, well, there was music. He removed his shirt. So does it meet a... But then if he is an actual male stripper, then why? What are you doing? Like, all of this just raises a million questions. So it's funny. They offered the video to the performance. They didn't offer the video to the supposed sit down. That's what everyone needs to hear. We don't need to see the performance. The video of the performance is already out there. It may not have the entire performance. You get the basic idea. He walks up on the platform, takes his shirt off, however you would like to describe it, climbs up and down the pole, does his kind of acrobatic thing, swallows a sword. Yeah! Oh, my goodness! And the funniest thing is there is a video of the performance happening, and you got these Christian men, whoever was recording it with their cell phone, going, oh my gee, oh my gee, oh my gee, oh my gee. And I'm like, well, they're taking God's name in vain, for crying out loud. Okay. So, all right. That's a whole different issue. That's a whole different issue. All right. So I'm just like, the whole thing is just bizarre. So here's what we know. Supposedly, I don't even know this. This is what I can tell you as far as an update. Supposedly, Mark Driscoll, Pastor John, Lindell. I need to just get his name down so I know. I don't think I've ever heard his name. I think I've spoken about this church before. I think I have. But I digress. All right, so they supposedly come back out, table, chairs, sit down, and Mark Driscoll admits that he was wrong. That's the video. That's the story. That's what we need, because then we can learn from it. And then everyone will then be able to make their decision. I've seen stuff, lots of places on YouTube and lots of places, other posts where people are like, Mark Driscoll was right. I don't see anyone posting the video of where they supposedly sat down. Now, maybe I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying that's the video that needs to be disseminated wide, everywhere, you know, far and wide. It needs to be everywhere, because that's the real issue. So I'm just going to break it down into four parts. Now we have the conference itself. Over $100 to get inside a conference for Christian men that is filled with monster trucks and wrestling and acrobats and all the things that they have, right? And the preaching of God's word is also included. What do you think about the conference itself? We have the performance in question of a man, pole, taking off shirt, performing an acrobatic routine and swallowing a sword at a Christian men's conference. So we have the conference itself. We have the performance. We have what Driscoll did. His observation/rebuke. We have him being shut down, told you're done. We have John Lindell coming up on stage, quoting Matthew 18. We have all of that. And then we have the possibility, there would be another part of this, of their sit down and Driscoll admitting that he was wrong. These are all the different parts. Each part, everyone's going to have somewhat of a slightly different opinion. Everyone's going to have a slightly different scriptural argument. I'm aware of that. I'm not even making a dogmatic assertion about anything other than the whole conference thing, because I've been against that my whole Christian life. As far as the performance, it's a part of the crazy Christian conference industrial complex. So I'm already think it's ridiculous. If he is a male stripper, why would they hire a male stripper to come do this? Why? I mean, you just know at the moment you're opening yourself up. You just know you're opening yourself up. Hey, there's a female stripper in Vegas, and we're going to hire her, and she's going to come, and she may not going to strip, but she's going to remove the top part of her clothing, and she's still going to be covered to some level, and then she's going to climb up and down a pole. Now people say, well, now it's a woman, so it's seductive, and now it's wrong. See, where do you draw the line in all of these things? That's the point. Once you open the door for this, then everyone's going to have their opinions. To me, you're just opening up yourself for difficulty. You could have just avoided all of this. You could have just said, we're going to have a men's conference. It's going to focus on the preaching and teaching of God's word. And if you want entertainment, we'll tell you all the areas. We'll give you a list of all the things to do in this area while you're at the conference. Because I'm assuming that wherever this conference occurred, that there's plenty of things to do in the local area. And you can appoint people, go be entertained there, be back at this time for preaching. That's what a novel idea. What a crazy idea. So, and I'll just do this quickly. Because I didn't really know exactly how I wanted to approach this. If I go to YouTube right now, I'm going to do a refresh. YouTube is where, and what's the weird thing about all of this? What is weird about all of this is that YouTube is not even where we really, the only reason, this is so weird. So YouTube, just for those that don't know, I don't really even pay much attention to it, because that's just sent there. All my content is sent to YouTube by our podcast hosting site. It's just kind of like, I don't really have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with it. In fact, I forgot my login to even be able to look at it. So it's been weeks, maybe even a month since I even logged in. I couldn't remember it. And so today I was like, man, I got to be able to at least check just to make sure no one's leaving some comment, because, you know, that would be bad because I had to cancel some of the accounts that we had to try to save money. And some of those accounts were connected to our Google account. We had different things, a Google business page. And when I canceled all of that, it wiped out the Google Gmail account. Well, the Google Gmail account was where all of my YouTube notifications typically went. Well, that's gone. So then I have no way of knowing. So I logged in today and I'm like, whoa, what is going on? And so then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, now I got to try to go through these. So I don't typically pay attention to YouTube because we're not a video broadcast. We're not a video podcast. So I'm like, you know, whatever. We don't even get 99% of all listens and streams come from other platforms, but it was all YouTube today. YouTube, YouTube, YouTube. What is weird on the Sermons 2.0 app and the Church One app and the beta.sermonaudio.com website, the numbers for this episode on Mark Driscoll, it's like 23. 23. I'm like, okay, so no one's interested. But on YouTube, I don't know, it's like 500, 600 right now. And then on some of the other podcasting platforms, it's in the thousands. And I'm like, what is going on? Why? So people on the Sermon Audio platform, like, who cares? It's so weird how it worked out today. Typically that's in reverse. But here are some of the comments that we've gotten. All right. So the conference cost me was $150. That's what someone posted 3 hours ago. They went to the conference and it cost them $150. All right. Someone else posted, this event should have been titled Adults Only Girly Boy Conference. Driscoll was right. It was a public spectacle. So I don't think Matthew 18 was required. If Lindell was a man, he would have, hang on. I'm going to click this. He would have received the correction and repented. Let's hope he does now. 1 Timothy, that was 5 hours ago. So again, a lot of the people commenting, they don't have any clue either that they came back out and had this, you know, talk and that Driscoll admitted is wrong. They quote 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in a latter time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I think I responded to that. Yes, I said, thanks for the feedback. Someone else 12 hours ago, the stripper is a professional stripper in gay men's clubs. Lindell knew that when he hired him. Now, I don't know if that's true. I'm not saying that's true in any way, but these are public comments. These are not private emails. These are public comments. Someone quotes again, 1 Timothy 4:1. I say, thanks for the feedback. All right. And then someone else said, regardless of the event location, this was a Christian event and a Christian pastor should not have hired this sort of entertainment. All right. Then, someone else said 100%. The fact church leaders couldn't discern this as wrong is disturbing in itself. Once again, 1 Timothy 4:1 is quoted. Someone else said it happened Friday, April the 12th. The rebuke occurred Saturday, April the 13th, just a few days ago, which I greatly appreciated because that's another confirmation of the timing. Then someone else said the conference cost was, this is the one I just read, $150. Then you have that long one that I just read. Someone else said the performer ripped his shirt off. You don't think that's part of stripping? And then someone else says, were you there? He didn't rip it off. I've seen the video of the performance from Friday evening. He unfastened his vest, sleeveless shirt thing, and removed it. It was a circus act performance. Most of the entertainment that evening was based on theme of video games. I guess because guys like video games a lot. He was the sword master in another bit that had a guy dressed as a master chef and a choreographed battle with a character from Call of Duty. They had acrobatics brothers perform. They had a 30 to 40 minute interview talk with Casey, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker, about the relationship with the Lord. They had a monster truck jump cars. They had a sanctioned boxing match. Friday night is entertainment and hype night and some worship and prayer time included. Saturday was the more serious teaching sessions. So see, someone is trying to defend it and saying he didn't rip his shirt off. But he removed his shirt. So maybe that's the correct way to put it. Someone said, I'd be curious to see the whole video. They said, of which part? If you're talking about the sword swallower guy, it's posted on Twitter. I hate the new name. There's no way for me to post it here that I know of. So now, once again, this is the person who says that they came out and had the talk. But they only are offering video for the performance. The video of the performance, I don't need to see the entire performance to get the basic gist of it. He takes his shirt off, he climbs up and down a pole, and he swallows a sword. Okay? And then someone said, did you know this guy used to be a professional stripper? And then someone said, no, I didn't. After reading Colin's post, I went to research it for myself. That's how I knew for sure he had been a pole dancer at some point. All right. Then someone else said, this is not a rebuke or anything directed at you, but I have taken a quote from you and addressed it. I wasn't there. I'm not even from your country. I've seen one short video of the stripper / sword guy. It's still weird no matter what way you take it and the context of church. Anyway, in my opinion, regardless of the intent, any of the performers of all kinds, the question I think everyone should ask is it necessary at all in the first place? I'm not against people having a bit of fun at church to unwind a little, but the whole Friday night as you described it sounds so silly. Friday is a night of entertainment and hype night with some worship and prayer included because it's a Christian event. We have to do Christian things is how that sounds. But who has the desire to fervently pray and seek God when your soul is being stuffed with entertainment? The church doesn't need to be warmed up with silly performances before considering communing with the God of the universe. Doesn't he promise joy in his presence? Doesn't he promise pleasures from his right hand? Doesn't he promise to be the bread of life and the spring of living water? Church of America, seek first his kingdom. Go be with God. Seek God. Preach the gospel. Make the person of Christ the reason why people are attracted to the church. With your addiction to entertainment, this is spreading rampantly throughout the rest of the world. Enjoy life, enjoy times of rest, enjoy times of having fun and letting off a bit of steam, of course, but the excessiveness and the order of priority needs fixed. Lastly, read Isaiah 55. I believe it will help and encourage those whose souls are hungry and thirsty for something other than the world's delights. God bless with love in Christ. That's someone from another country really rebuking the American church. And then someone else says, thank you for sharing your thoughts on this. I appreciate it very much. It's easy to take my somewhat poorly worded explanation and misunderstand its meaning. I was trying to make sure that the reader understood that there was more than just entertainment on Friday evening. I guess I failed at that. This was an annual church-sponsored event in the arena, as opposed to a church service in a church building. I've always had trouble personally with the idea that we need to entertain people or somehow make the gospel more palatable to the unchurched. Knowing Pastor John's heart, after listening to his teaching of the word for several years, he does not think we need to do those things at all. I cannot tell you why they do this annual event the way they do, but I know that over 500 men accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior on the first night alone. So on the first night with all the entertainment, 500 men accepted the Lord. Okay, all right. Evangelistic outreach in America has become so different than it was in the days of Billy Graham. Things have changed for better or worse. I'm old school and almost 60 years of age, but I cannot argue with the number of salvation and baptism James River Church is experiencing. Many churches in the U.S. are experiencing the beginning of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we haven't seen in decades. It is powerful. So I cannot at this point argue with the method of an annual event meant to encourage Christian men and give them opportunity to bring unsaved, unchurched male friends and family to the event. It is making a difference. Lives are being restored. Families and marriages are being restored. People are being healed and delivered. And in our city, and as in many others in the U.S., it is desperately needed. The drug addiction, alcoholism, violence, domestic violence, poverty, suicide, and homelessness is off the charts. We are not a big city. I can tell you Pastor John Lendl is 100% on track and preaching the word fully and deeply. He doesn't deviate and speaks the truth and refuses to tickle ears by sugarcoating anything. He is also a humble man who takes his calling to the shepherd the flock very seriously. He and his wife have a heart for the lost and hurting, and the church is very active community outreach. I will say some of the modern worship is hard for me just because of the loud volume. All right. I have to wonder if the big entertainment events on the opening night of the annual conference are partly a method of grabbing the attention of the attendees. In this day of gaming and internet culture, it may be necessary to do this because the attention span of many have become so short. I don't know. But again, thank you for so kindly and respectfully sharing your views with me. God bless you. Now, I'm not going to get here and get into a whole, I mean, there's so much of that we're at the break. We're at the point of an outpouring. We're going to have an outpouring like we've never seen before. I've only been hearing that since, 1982. All right. So we always hear that. Okay. That's just the typical Christianese. All right. But that's great. This person obviously thinks everything about it is amazing. They have some personal dislikes for certain parts of it, but they think, you know, all these people are getting saved. All right. So, so then the comments go from there. So it sounds like most people in the comments are completely opposed to it and think it was completely wrong. But guess what? Never shows up in the comments. Other than that one person saying that they came back out and had a talk, nobody else is mentioning it. So this coming back out to discuss it seems to be like some one person, only one person mentions it. Someone else mentions being at the conference. They don't come back and go, yes, Mark Driscoll and John came back out and talked. If they did, that's what we need to see. So I would ask Mark Driscoll, I would ask the church, release that video. Nobody else needs to see the video of the performance, right? Nobody. The performance, we've seen enough of that. We understand what happened in the performance. We can argue over semantics. He removed his shirt. He ripped off his shirt, We could get into an argument over semantics. It had a stripper feel. It did not have a stripper feel. He was a stripper. He wasn't. He's been changed. He's now a Christian. What? We could get into a lot of information about all of that. We know what Mark Driscoll did, and we know what Pastor John, I'll just say Pastor John, but Lindell, L-I-N-D-E-E-L, I believe is how it's spelled. If I looked at it, probably maybe I could do better. But we know what he did. So we have some basic information that we can try to draw conclusions from. Everyone's going to debate that. They're going to debate everything about the conference, the performance, what Driscoll did, and what John Lindell did. Everyone's going to have their strong opinions about that. What we could learn from is the video of them sitting down and having a full-blown discussion. I'm assuming the video is going to become prominently displayed on the church's website. I'm assuming Mark Driscoll is going to post it on his church website. I haven't checked his church website. I'm sure that maybe Mark Driscoll and John Lindell will record a podcast episode and talk about what happened. I'm sure that this can be that something positive can come from it. I do believe that. In the meantime, everyone's having strong opinions. I do appreciate everyone taking the time to post all of those comments. I really do, because many of them were giving me additional information. Many of them were helping correct anything that I may have said incorrectly. So I'm grateful for all of it. I just trying to explain that I think I was being very fair. I think I was trying not to just yell at people or condemn something, that I was trying to break it down into very specific individual parts and offer possible different ways of looking at each individual part. I think that's reasonable. I think it's rational. I think it's a good approach. I understand that there are shortcomings in it because I'm trying to respond to things in, like, as they're happening, like as it was all unfolding before my eyes. Now, you could argue you should have waited. Well, I could have waited. You're right. I could wait to win. I don't know. 24 hours later, 48 hours later, 72 hours later. There's a couple of things about doing that. One, everyone else is already going to be talking about it. So me waiting is not going to stop people talking about it and posting about it, because my daughter was sending me TikTok videos of the situation literally 5 minutes after I was done broadcasting. So it was already making its way across, TikTok. Reddit already had a Reddit thread going. So it was, and it was already showing up on X. So it was already making its way. People were already talking about it. But guess what? None of the people were doing. They weren't providing any kind of like, wait, let's break it down into this part and this part and this part and this part. And let's consider this and let's consider this. And what about this? And what about this? And you could see it this way. And you could, nobody was doing that. Everybody was just like, this is wrong, or this is ridiculous, or this is embarrassing. And everyone, and I tried to throw in some of my feelings, but also breaking it down. I think that how I approached it was somewhat, I think it was needed in the initial unfolding of everything, and the initial of this thing going viral. I think it was needed to try to step in going, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's put it together. So I hope that that will help. There's still a lot of questions I have. I still have a lot of questions I can ask, but I'm going to go back to some of my major arguments. How long are Christians going to continue to support this celebrity culture where you put men on a stage to preach the word of God, and the people in the audience had to pay $50, $60, $100, or $150 to get inside to hear the preaching of God's word? That needs to stop. I don't even care about this conference. That just needs to stop Christian-wise. The preaching of God's word should not be, it's like coming to church and they're like, well, hey, that'll be $50 to get in because you know who our pastor is. He's a celebrity. Now you've got to pay to hear him. And don't tell me these conferences don't happen in churches where people have to pay to get inside a church, because I know they happen inside churches as well. But whether it's an arena or whether it's there, no, the preaching of God's word should not be. That's just wrong. And I will stand my ground on that. Here's the thing. Whether it's a church, whether it's an arena, when Christian organizations and Christian ministries decide to bring in all of this additional stuff, who gets to determine where is too far? Like, you can play this song, but you can't play that song. Well, you can do this, but you can't do this. It becomes subjective. Where's an objective standard? It becomes almost impossible to know. And so that's why I think more the regulative principle, that it's a Christian ministry, it's a Christian conference, it's a church holding it. Let's just operate this and do what the Bible calls us to do. Preach, teach, pray, worship. There we go. Problem solved. If you want to go the normative, you can basically do anything that's not specifically condemned. I know you kind of open the door for almost everything. And it's always weird how everyone's okay. Like, well, there's nothing wrong with doing this. And then until someone comes and offers the next thing. And it's funny how some people will go to a church and they have all kinds of things that are nowhere in scripture. And they don't have a problem with it. But then they'll see a church across the street doing something like, that's a circus. That's a three-ring circus. That's insane. They shouldn't be doing that. Well, look at your own church. Look at the things your church is doing. They're none of that is found in scripture either. Who are you to... So where do you draw the line? We have to come up with some kind of like what's acceptable or not acceptable. And then... we can discuss when is the appropriate time for a public rebuke and when is it not time? When is it acceptable? When is it not acceptable? Now, I wish we could have heard everything Mark Driscoll had to say. To me, I feel like cutting, even if you disagree with what Mark Driscoll was doing, letting him finish, right? And then you get up and say, hey, thank you, Mark, for what you said. But I'm going to offer some words here because I strongly disagree. But you're a Christian man. I'm a Christian man. So I'm now going to address this and I hope everyone will be respectful. And I'm going to give you my perspective. And all of you men, Christianity and theology is sometimes messy. And so I'm going to give you my perspective. You're going to hear two perspectives on this. And then you can talk about this in between sessions, and y'all can have some great conversations, and you can approach me. Me and Mark will be up here, and you can approach us both and talk to us. Or he could have came up and said, you know what? In the next session, me and Mark are going to sit down, and we're going to hash this out in front of everyone. And you could have, there. Now, it sounds like they did do that. Well, that's what we need to see, and that's what we need to hear. But because it raises questions about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. Some people say Matthew 18 applies. Some people say Matthew 18 doesn't apply. Once again, theology is messy. All right. There we go. I think I've covered everything I can cover. I think I can. I had an entire article I was going to read about it. When I got ready to start, I had like four different ways in the way I wanted to begin. And well, I began in the most unprofessional, disorganized way possible. But you know what? I think that works. I think the kind of not being sure, kind of stumbling through the beginning, I think is very representative of just trying to figure all of this out, where all of these messages are coming through on email. All these messages are coming through on YouTube. In fact, I'll go check my email inbox right now. I have 133,564 emails in my inbox. Yeah, I do need to delete a lot. I'm not saying all of those have anything to do with the podcast. They deal with all kinds of different things. All right. Yeah. So now I don't have any more. Wait, hang on. I did get emails. I was getting a lot of emails in my spam folder. All right. Now that's someone who sent me an email asking me about our series on Romans. Okay. And then I got all those scams. Hey, we want to make a donation to your ministry for $554,000. Wow. All you need to do is do this. Yeah. Okay. All right. I would not know what to do. If I got an email and someone said, hey, I want to make a donation to your podcast for $100,000, I would probably just fall on the floor and die. And that would be the end of it. They would kill me. All right. So yeah, I do get those scam ones all the time, but yeah. You're like, well, thank you so much for trying to scam me out of money. All right. But all right. One of these days, someone's going to actually send me an email with a donation of $100,000 and I'm not going to believe it and just delete it. Yeah, that would be funny. All right. So I think we've covered everything. I feel like there's more we need to say. I just don't know what else to say. Put it this way. If we find the video of Mark and John sitting down, then I will bring it to you and we will analyze it, critique it, and review it. If I cannot find it, then we won't. If the church ultimately gives all the sessions for the conference, and there's one of those sessions where clearly this whole situation is being addressed, then we will review and analyze and critique it. In the meantime, I want you to read Matthew 18, and I want you to consider what are those rules really setting up? How should they work? And do you think Driscoll was right or wrong? Is Matthew 18 applicable? What would have been the right way? Now that we know that it was basically the performance happened on a Friday and Mark Driscoll did this on a Saturday, it does raise some questions. Like, well, come on, Mark, you had basically 24 hours to talk to someone. That does seem a little thing. But I also know that sometimes you're not even thinking about it and you start preaching and all of a sudden some idea, some thought comes to your mind and then you start going with it and it wasn't initially planned. I do understand that. That happens sometimes in the middle of podcasting. I start saying, I'm like, well, that wasn't a part of the original plan. So I don't know. The whole situation is crazy and everyone has strong opinions of it. I can tell you that. And on TikTok, it sounds like most of the people who were doing TikToks were not even professing Christians. They were looking at it from a mocking perspective of non-Christians. So the whole thing is just kind of out of control. Now, the good thing is it's 2024. So within the next 24 to 72 hours, we will move on to the next controversy and the next thing, because all it takes is butterfly, 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 and we're off to the next thing. So before we know it, this podcast will be talking about who knows what, right? We'll be moving on because that's how things work. But I wanted to try to bring this to some kind of a conclusion to the best of my ability and try to address any criticisms that I have received and any criticisms I address. Many of those criticisms were not directed to one specific comment, whether on YouTube or email. I was trying to speak to the overall general tone to some comments that are being made. So no one take any correction or trying to explain being specifically directed towards any single person, even the person who I read their entire comment. In any of my comments, there were about not only your comment, but about all the totality of everything else I have received. All right. So no one take it personal. For anyone trying to offer correction, I appreciate it. I think I tried to be fair. And for any way that I messed up, I apologize. Messing up the chronological order, I apologize. And if you feel that I was talking about things in which I did not know, I will accept that. But I feel like I addressed specifically what was available. And I tried to break it down in specific parts. And I tried to say, could be this, could be this, could be this. We can think about it this way, that way, this way. What do you think? Do additional research and be very careful not to jump to any conclusions beyond what we currently know. I think I tried to say that. And if I did not, well, then I apologize. You can email me, newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. That's newsif@yahoo.com. And hey, Pastor John at James River Church. Look, I apologize. I keep messing up your last name because I've never heard it spoken. All right. So I want to say Lindell. Then I want to say Lindell, but I think it's got to be Lindell. Right? Maybe. All right. Someone's going to send it to me and say, would you get his name right? And you know, you're right. I should get his name right. But if you also know, I'm horrible. That's why all the years I worked in the medical world, if I had to call a patient back, I'd be like, you in the green shirt, you with the red baseball cap, you. Yeah, you. No, you. Yeah, you right there. Come on back. You. Okay. No, you. Wait, I don't know who this is. Come look at, wait, I can't have you look at the name. That's HIPAA. All right. No. All right. Whatever the case may be. All right. So, yeah. All right. I do apologize for that as well. All right. Thanks for listening. Everyone have a great day. God bless.